All right, folks, this is Rabble Rousing Rich Bergeron.
Ho, 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 it's the Tornado Claws, Tony Bennekamp.
And Psychic Tom Padgett, ready to go.
And we got a whole lot of stuff to talk about. A lot of UFC events went down, some boxing matches. Lots to discuss. big one this weekend, of course, is B-Hop. B-Hop's in action.
He said it's the last time, but he said it's the last 11 years.
Yes, 67 fights or something like that. Crazy.
Something like that, at least. And here's the thing, you know, the guy he's fighting is a big, strong, rugged kid with good right-hand power, but he's the type of fighter that's usually tailor-made for Bernard Hopkins. The guy that's going to come straight in, the other guy's going to try to slug, and, you know, Bernard's going to have to, you know, sit there and use what he does, and that is, you know, use his angles, set up his right hand, and work this kid into everything he throws, and I think that's what you're going to see. He could end the final fight of his career with a late round stoppage just by wearing the guy down, but likely it'll be, you know, a Hopkins, Marlin, brawling, frustrating the kid for a decision, similar to the Kelly Pavlik fight in 07.
Alright then.
Give me 1 second, okay? One moment.
Alright, one. Alright, where are you? No, I was kidding. we got a lot of boxing action this weekend to talk about. Tomorrow night, actually, pretty decent female fight going on. How did we lose Tom? I think we lost Tom. Tom, you there?
Yeah, right here. Here you go.
Holy shit! We got live action! Be aware, we have major wins going on up here in New Hampshire. So they did warn us that power outages are possible, so we might only get half a show.
Wow, you're coming in better than you normally do. That's unusual. I hear down here you're much better. So maybe we need more of this kind of weather, huh?
Clear skies, lots of wind. All right. Anyway, I don't know why I can't find this girl's fight. Where is she? No, this is last week's results, that's why. Alright. We had, on the 10th, Elider Alvarez beaten Norbert Dabrowski. He stays undefeated. Came in at 20-0. Let's see what else we had last week. We had the Anthony Joshua fight, of course, last week. He totally handled his opponent there. I believe it was Molina. Over in Italy, Emiliano Masili, 33-0-1, got the win over Aristides Perez, who was 29-8-2, for the vacant WBA Intercontinental Lightweight title. We had the mismatch of the week last week. I don't know if we called this one that, but it went according to plan. Juan Carlos Burgos came in with 30 wins, 2 losses, 2 draws. Beat Hector Nava, who was 1-5.
Nice.
No surprise. No surprise it was a TKO.
You know, how do you get that job to be the matchmaker or something like that?
So
I mean, you got to kind of wonder, how much worse could someone do?
And you know, but here's one thing that I know that's from talking with a girl that works for Russell Peltz. You know, she'll post on Facebook sometimes that managers will actually call her. That's whatever, he needs a win. So, you know, then this one thinks, okay, who can we call that's going to throw a guy in there to basically lose?
Unbelievable. And down in Monterrey, Mexico last week on the 10th, we had Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. back in action. Got a unanimous decision win. Goes to 49-2-1. Looking for his 50th win. And he got the win over Dominic Brich, who was 32-2-1. And then the co-main event, Jamie Munguia stayed undefeated at 18-0 over Alvaro Robles, who was 19-6. That was a TKO win. And we had, if there's not enough Chavez's in the main event, because there's only one, you got two fighting each other at middleweight last week. Omar and Cesar Chavez fighting each other. Omar got the win by knockout over Cesar. Omar goes to 34-3-1. Cesar goes to 31-10-0. Just unbelievable. And how about Jesus losing a fight to Isaac Rodriguez here at the same card? How about this guy's name? Jesus Angel Nerio. 13-5-1. TKO. Isaac Rodriguez beat him. Right. And then over in New Zealand, we had Joseph Parker. Got a majority decision win over Andy Ruiz Jr. And there was some controversy there. But he got the vacant WBO World Heavyweight title with that one. And stays undefeated. Puts the first loss on Andy Ruiz Jr.'s record. And then the name I mentioned last week, that was a great boxing name, Isaac Dogbo. 15-0. Got the win over Julian Evaristo Aristul, who was 32-6 going in. That was a TKO win for Dogbo. And he got the WBO Latino Super Bantamweight title and the WBO International Super Bantamweight title. And we had Jeff Horn got a win over Ali Funeka. Jeff Horn came in 15-0-1. Let's get the 16th win for the WBO Intercontinental Welterweight title. And Ali goes to 39-6-3. And it was a TKO win for Horn. What else we got? Christoph Vladarczyk got the IBF Intercontinental Cruiserweight title over Leon Harth. Christoph goes to 52-3-1. Harth goes to 14-2. That was a unanimous decision win for Mr. Vladarczyk. Let's see what else we got going on. Alright. And as I said, Anthony Joshua got the win over Eric Molina. Joshua improves to 18-0, got the IBF World Heavyweight title there. He's looking to unite the titles with Klitschko's and have a big fight there. Molina falls to 25-4. It was a, I believe, fifth round TKO.
And they had dueling cards with HBO and Showtime. I was working an event last week. Tom's going to laugh, but I was doing another stand-up appearance. With Hank Cisco, the gentleman whose TV show I was on a couple times, and Stableman and Rocky Marciano. So I was doing a Santa visit for them for a party they have. So by the time I got home, it was right after the Charlo Williams fight had been stopped, and right when they were really giving Charlo a hard time, you know, for his poor sportsmanship, you know, after Williams tried to, you know, shake his hand after the fight. Charlo dropped Williams, I think it was three times, and then, I mean, he first dropped him with a jab, and then he hit him with a picture-perfect uppercut and put him down, and then he finally stopped him again, I think it was a right hand, and put him down and out. And then, you know, after it was over, there had been some animosity going into the fight. Williams went up, you know, say congratulations, all that, and Charlo acted like a, you know, a schoolyard brat.
So, yeah. Well, that sucks. I actually saw the Facebook preliminary fight, the free fight on Facebook, on the preliminary card there. And I'm drawing a blank on the names, but there was a guy from kickboxing. Came over from kickboxing, and his record was like 10-0 or something. And he went in there against, I mean, I'm sure I'll see it. I'll find it. He went in there against a guy that had a lot more experience in boxing. And the kickboxer won the fight. It was one of the most entertaining fights I've seen, let alone free fights. I mean, can't beat that. Live on Facebook. gonna say, is that a motorcycle I hear?
That's my car. It's you know, a little chilly out tonight. But I mean, the sun had to rev it to get off the hill.
Oh, okay. What is that? Anyway, yeah. So, yeah, we're still doing last week here. Just gotta close this out. But there were a lot of good fights on the UK card there.
Then of course we can't forget about Terrence Crawford, who is in my top 5 pound for pound right now.
That's a big win there.
He said unfortunately I didn't get to see his fight, but they said it was another virtuoso performance.
Yes, sir. And then actually speaking of kickboxing, Tom sent me a Glory 36 fight that is going to be Fight of the Year nominee, right, Tom? Still with us, Tom? Hello, Tom.
Ah, there you are. Yeah, you faded off for a minute.
Oh. So, I was saying, you sent me a clip of the Glory 36.
Oh, yeah, that was wild.
Battle. And I don't have the guys' names right in front of me, but it was pretty epic. These guys clobbered the shit out of each other. One guy goes down in the first round, and the other guy goes down by the end of the first round. And then second, third rounds, back and forth, a bunch of knockdowns, and then they had to go to a final fourth round.
Oh.
And the guy who won got the final knockdown, like, with 10 seconds left.
Yeah, that was like a Rocky movie.
Yeah.
And normally that kind of stuff does not happen in real fights.
No.
These things are movies for a reason.
But that was
an exception. That was just, he's up, he's down, he's up, he's down, he's up, he's down. It's like, whoa! I mean, just...
Foreman Lyle.
Yeah, and it would just be one of those, when you think that the one guy is done, and I thought that about both guys through this whole thing. I mean, done. These guys got to be finished. But the heart of both of them, that's the kind of fight nobody loses. I wish they would have had draws, but they don't in that style of kickboxing. They had to keep going, but got our money's worth there.
Yes, sir. Yes, we did. And we also had some big UFC fights. Max Holloway, of course, got a huge, huge win over Anthony Pettis in a little bit of a war there. Pettis, there was a lot of hype about him saying that he broke his hand after the first round. He came back to his corner and said his hand was broken. But really, he didn't seem to have much cardio either to hang with Holloway.
Yeah, two things. For one thing, you wonder if some of this extracurricular stuff is playing into this. You don't get cars burnt in your driveway continually. Unless there's something personal. I mean, even criminal gangs usually don't just look in the phone book for someone to go, hey, let's go burn this guy's car tonight. I mean, you kind of wonder what's going on there. But more important, I want to get you guys comment on this, that when you're a former world champion, sometimes that's an advantage because there's no shortage of people that want to have your scalp on, have you in their trophy room. Hey, I beat a former world champion. But so much more is expected of you. And I agree with you, Rich. His performance was just was not there.
Okay.
So I just don't know where he goes from here. I mean, I'm not saying he's done because he's too young to say that. But it just seems like if it's not one thing, it's something else. And I do think that that's a bit of a burden. You're a former champ. Well, and you need to perform at that level.
We'll get to that full card in a minute.
And I'll go back and obviously, go into a boxing analogy, but a fighter that was a world champion and a highly respected world champion who, just deteriorated rapidly was Matthew Saad Muhammad.
Yeah, I was thinking of the same thing. Yeah.
Light heavyweight champ back in, the late 70s, early 80s. And, he had that style. You knew he wasn't going to last very long. It was like every fight was a bloodbath. Every fight he was out on his feet. Every fight he was soaking up amazing punishment until he made this superhuman comeback. Well, after a while, it's like you reach down and it's not there anymore. That's what happened when he fought, Dwight Muhammad Cowley the first time, and Cowley really broke him down and stopped him. And I remember when they was training, and my dad was telling me where he was training at, because him and his buddy went there, and they were kind of watching him work the pads a little bit. And my dad, man, was like, man, Saad looks good. Saad looks good. He's going to get Braxton back. Or he's going to Braxton, but he's going to get Cowie back. He's going to tear him apart. And my dad's friend goes, nope. He just looks like a step, just a millisecond, he's gone. His reflexes are just not there anymore. My dad's like, oh, that's bullshit. And Braxton tore him up the second time worse than the first time. Then you go later in his career, and you look at his overall record, you're like, man, he couldn't have been that good. He was only, let's say, like 35 and like 20. How good could he have been? But most of those 17 of those losses were later in his career. He's getting knocked out in two rounds by a guy that's, 5-5.
He had a fight in Australia in, I think, 89 or something like that. Just going by memory, but first off, I couldn't believe the guy was still fighting. And it was just, man, I mean, obviously, he didn't have a good fight. That was an awful, awful ending.
And a lot of the people that were his so-called friends let him dry.
Yeah.
There's a lot of the people that hung on with him. Yeah, they hung on, until he had nothing left, and it was like, all right, see you later. I met him. He was a friend of both of my trainers from Philadelphia. Kevin Burwell and Red Thompson were around the same age, and they had been they were friends. And then the other guy, Red Thompson, who worked with me a little bit, was one of his cornermen for years when Saad was champ. And so he would always hang around my gym for a while. And I remember the one time he was watching me train, and I had been there a couple of years. First time I ever got a chance to meet him. And he pulled me aside. He's like, man, you're short. I'm thinking, no shit. Tell me something I don't know. I learned that day one. He's like, you got to stick the jab, and fire right hand. Once again, something I learned pretty much on day one. Because that normally I charge like $1,000 for that information. With your Kev's voice, you get it for free. It's like, they're talking about a guy that was hard up right there. A guy that was really in a lot of fire.
Well, there
I remember those Marvin Johnson fights. Boy, they were wars.
Oh, yeah.
Johnson really wanted, when Johnson knocked out Victor Galendez, you remember this going way back. And I remember McMansky went back in the dressing room to congratulate him, and Marvin still, he wanted that third fight. He said, hey, he should be talking about where he wants to fight me, but that never happened. It would have been a good one, no matter what.
My dad, and the one thing that my dad will still say, he's talking about Saad, he goes, man, Saad was bad, man. Saad was a bad man. he's just talking about all the great fights we'd watch and everything, and then I'm going to tell you something else funny in a minute. But he will still quote Matthew Saad Muhammad after the first Marvin Johnson fight. He said, they're tearing into each other, and finally Saad's cut over both eyes, and finally he put Johnson down, and when the signal the fight was over, Johnson just leaned back against the ropes, more like, oh, thank God. Yeah. And then they interviewed him, and they said, how do you feel to be the champ? And he goes, I'm the champ. He goes, now, me and Marvin Johnson are the champ. Man, that cat is bad. And the other story, and my dad will still tell this, back in the days when you'd have all the afternoon fights on CBS and ABC and anything you could find, there was the second fight between Saad Muhammad and Yaki Lopez. Now, we're going to watch that fight together. Now, my dad's obviously pulling for Saad, he always liked him, and being a Philadelphia guy. Well, being a little kid, three years old, maybe four, my favorite color at the time was blue. I loved blue. I said it'd be like 20 degrees out, and my parents take me outside, I still wanted to wear my blue shorts. And if I had to wear long clothes, I still wanted to wear my blue shorts over top of them. Because I wanted to be
my memory serves me correct.
Right before Concord.
Yeah, and I was watching that. Long story, but I was in a restaurant of a bar. A bar in a restaurant. I'm sorry, watching it there, and it was that eighth round was surrealistic. I mean, yeah. I don't know how Lopez was just a. They were both machines. I mean, that was just what can I say? Sublime. How Matthew could take that kind of punishment and hang in there and then come back. I mean, Lopez was done at the end of that fight. He gave everything he had. Yeah, both those guys did. But again, how long can you keep going through that? You know his career had to be short.
Same thing with Arturo Gatti, you know?
Yeah.
The one thing Rev Thompson would say, and when I was talking to him, you know, down at the gym and everything, and he was talking about guys, you know, take up punishment, and, you know, he talked about being in the corner inside the hammock for several of those, you know, you can't even call them wars. you know, epics, maybe.
Yeah.
So he said at the end of that eighth round, when Lopez had Saad in the corner, in the fight today, especially if you have a jumpy referee, you know, they might stop this fight. And I know a lot of times referees will come out and say they know their fighter. So they'll say, like Eddie Cotton, before he passed away, God rest his soul, he said in the second Ward-Gotti fight, he said, you know, when Gotti hit Ward with that right hand and Ward went down face first into the turnbuckle, and he got up, and Gotti was teeing off on him. He goes, any other fighter, I stopped the fight. But this was Mickey Ward. And I had to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Rev said, Saad came back to the corner, and they sat him on that stool, and they were throwing ice on him and cold water and doing everything. And his eyes were like, they were glazed. They were gone. He was out. And he said, in the 60 seconds that surpassed, in that minute, he said he blinked and he was back.
Nice.
Yeah, that's conditioning and willpower right there. That's mental toughness and great conditioning.
All right.
Yeah.
We got to move on with the schedule. The fights we were talking about from the UK about 20 minutes ago before we went off on that tangent. over in the UK, we had Anthony Joshua, I said, beating Eric Molina. That was a TKO. Luis Concepcion also lost to Khalid Yafai, who stays undefeated. Goes to 21-0. That was the unanimous decision for the vacant WBA World Super Flyweight title. Luis falls to 35-4. Actually, 35-5 now. And then we had featherweight Scott Quigg beating Jose Cayetano. Quigg improves to 32-1-2, and Cayetano falls to 20-5. That was a knockout win for Quigg. Dylan White won a split decision over heavyweights Derek Chisora there. No title there, but White improves to 20-1, and Chisora goes to 26-7. No word if he threw a table or not. I know he threw one at the table or a chair or something at the press conference. He was in some trouble for it. We also had light heavyweights Jose Burton, undefeated no more, lost to Frank Buglioni. Jose goes to 18-1. Buglioni goes to 19-2-1. That was for the BBB of C British Light Heavyweight title. And lots of other good fights on that card, too. How about Katie Taylor going up against Vivian Obenauf? Katie's a lightweight from the Olympics there, from Ireland, and comes in at 1-0. And she's fighting a girl who's 9-1. No opponent for Katie Taylor. Pretty good stuff. Also, Callum Smith got the BBB of C British Super Middleweight title over Luke Blackledge. And Callum goes to 22-0 for his record. Blackledge goes to 22-3-2. All right. Then we, as we said, Jermall Charlo got the win over Julian Williams. Somebody's O had to go there. It was Julian's. That was for the IBF World Super Welterweight title. And Jermall handled that one pretty well. Abner Mares beat the other Jesus Fight of the Week candidate, Jesus Andres Queller, 28-1. It was a split decision win for Abner. He goes to 30 wins, 2 losses, 1 draw. And he's got the WBA World Featherweight title. The one that I saw was Lenny Zapovigna versus Sergey Lipinets. Sergey comes in at came in at 10-0. Lenny came in at 35-2. And Freddie Roach was trained in Zappa, as he said, had on his shorts, and said that he was doing really well against Miguel Cotto in sparring. And here's this guy, Sergey, who didn't look too good in the first round, but actually this was an example, Tony, of when a boxer is too busy, it catches up with him. You know what I mean? When he's throwing too many punches, trying to land too much, and not setting his feet, not landing, and getting caught with a shitload of counters. And Sergey just happened to be a harder puncher, and he just sat back, made the adjustments, and they ended up having a head clash that cut them both, but Zappa ended up getting his eyes swollen shut and just ended up being a knockout win. And you got to give Zappa credit. He came up from, I think, at least one other knockout, but the last one, I mean, he was hovering right off the seat of his pants, looking right at the ref at about 7, and instead of standing up, he just stayed right there. Yeah, it was an epic fight. I thought it was great for Facebook being free and all. And actually, there wasn't a lot of people watching on Facebook. There was like 2,000 people. So I said, that's kind of bullshit. You figure a lot more people would be watching something like that. It was a great fight. Great fight. And it goes to show you the crossovers. Not that out of the question here. We see success from a guy from kickboxing come over like that. Sergey is no joke. Threw a lot of looping hooks that I liked. Lots of them. And he had a perfect jab. Actually, he was one of the only Europeans I've seen with an up jab, Tony. Straight up wow. Up jab from Europe. It doesn't happen much.
But very, very unusual for a European fighter.
So that was last week. As we said, we also had Terrence Crawford getting the win over... Where is it? Crawford over John Molina Jr. Terrence stays undefeated, goes to 30-0. Molina goes to 29-7-0. And that was a TKO for Crawford. He keeps his WBC, WBO, World Super Lightweight titles. We got Mason Menard got a tough fight against Raimundo Beltran. Beltran got the win by knockout. The vacant NABF lightweight title and the WBO NABO lightweight title in that fight. And Mason falls to 32-2. Beltran goes to 32-7-1. Also, Sean Monahan stayed undefeated against Fernando Castaneda. Falls to 24-12. Monahan goes to 28-0. That was a unanimous decision. Let's see what else we got from last week. The vacant WBC Latino welterweight title goes to David Emmanuel Peralta in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Last week, Berlin Abreu got the loss. He goes to 13-2. Peralta goes to 27-2-1. Kermit Cintron also got another win. RTD over Rosenberg Gomez, 19-5-1. Kermit improves to 39-5-2. And Derek Rossi got a win over Richard Carmack on the same card. He goes to 31-12. Carmack goes to 15-10-1. That's pretty much last week's big stuff. So let's go to this week. If BoxRec will cooperate, that is. So, how's life at the Christmas tree lot while we're waiting, Tony?
Oh, fantastic. So, doing what I do, having fun, being obnoxious, can't complain.
It was a great article, by the way, that you sent on the bunny suit situation.
Yeah, and I will have to send you guys an update because we do have the charity that it's being donated to. It's called Unite for Her, which I was on the phone with the representative for about a half hour yesterday. And what they do
is they're partnered with 17 local Philadelphia hospitals, and they provide, you know, assistance for people going through, you know, breast cancer treatment. When I say assistance, it's like, you know, they'll sit there and, you know, do stuff like, you know, they'll partner with them for like a year, whether it's offering like acupuncture therapy or, you know, things like yoga, anything they can do to maybe help out, something that, like, different type of therapy programs, maybe nutritional, because they're having, like, you know, losing appetite and stuff like that. So, you know, cooking and trying to teach them how to, you know, better, you know, have better nutrition while they're going through this.
Right.
So.
Very cool.
So that's, it's exciting. We're looking forward to this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah, this is a big weekend. You know, the last big weekend before the big day, right?
Yeah, exactly.
25th. A lot of people wait to get their Christmas trees in Philadelphia?
Excuse me?
Do a lot of people wait to get their Christmas trees out there in Philadelphia?
I will sell them up until Christmas Eve at 4 o'clock.
Wow.
Yeah, because, I mean, we start on Black Friday, and I sold the first tree this year at 10:15 a.m. on Black Friday, and I will probably sell them until 4 o'clock on Christmas Eve. I mean, we'll only have a handful left, you know, but then, you know, it's when you get your people that are just trying to be, you know, deal hunters. Last minute, I didn't get a chance, I was busy, you know, I don't want to pay full price, so, you know, what can you do this for? And I know what the guy paid for them, so, you know, I know, you know, he'll still be making a profit, you know, with, you know, we know what we cut off, you know, the top, you know, price-wise, and then, like, we'll have everything broken down at our shop and, like, moved out of there probably by 2:30 or 3:00. And then we'll have, like, maybe, like, 7 or 8 trees left, maybe some reeds, some logs, you know, some stuff that, you know, me and the one guy will stay around to, like, take to the dumpster and throw out. So we'll stay there for, like, an extra hour. And he's like, yo, if you sell anything, then keep the money. So, you know, I'll throw the Santa suit on. My friend will throw his elf hat on. And we'll just try to get people to come by and, you know, make them last-minute sales. Me and him will keep the profits.
Sweet.
Yeah, I mean, I'm having a hell of a year. I mean, I'm already at about $1,100 to $1,200 between salary and tips.
Sweet. All right, so you got people coming.
You know, you wonder how much these guys think they're going to save by waiting till Christmas Eve. Mm-hmm. That's kind of...
Well, you know, strange. I mean, you figure like this. You figure a tree that could cost, you know, $60, $70... they might get for 15 or 20. Mm-hmm. For me, is it worth it? I don't think so. Mm-hmm. But for somebody maybe in a rougher situation, you know, or somebody that's just really cheap,
yep.
You know, that's what they want to do.
Some of those people that bought the UFC for $4.2 billion.
I had a woman last year, because we have, the parking lot we have right now, racks, like horse racks. They look like, you know, like those, I guess they call them horses, but we build them. That's what we have our trees up, you know, we have the lights strung up to it. Well, next week, you know, we're going to start breaking all that down, you know, unbolt all the lumber, pack it away, so the trees we have will be laying on the ground. Now, last year, we had a woman come, and she's like, you know, looking around, she's like, oh, how much are your trees? And, you know, we're like, well, you know, sounds like 10, 15 bucks. Oh, okay, well, I just want the greens. Well, I can cut the greens. I said, you can buy the tree, and I'll cut all the greens off for you. No, I don't want to do that. I look over 10 minutes later, she's in our dumpster, literally standing both feet in the dumpster, trying to find greens.
Mm-hmm. You know, it gets to a point, no matter how broke you are, where's your dignity at? Mm-hmm. I mean, exactly. If the situation is that bad, you need to stay home.
Yeah.
Wow.
Anything to save a buck. Anyway, speaking of crazy ladies,
well, yeah, it's humorous, the stuff you get to see. I mean, I saw a guy get thrown out of there one time for being such an asshole.
Hey, I want my tree this way. Hey, fuck you, it's this way. You get used to it.
Well, I'll tell you a few of the things that I've seen. Like, the one time I was there, and with the Friday before Christmas, it was maybe about the 20th or the 21st, so now we're getting to the philosophy. We're the last few days. We know what the guy paid for each tree. You know, don't let anybody.
everybody walk. You know, get things out. Get as much as you can for them, but make sure the people take a tree. So this guy shows up. It's just me and another guy on a Friday night. This guy, I'd say about 50-some years old, maybe mid to late 50s, with his two 20-year-old sons, gets out of his car yelling at nobody that he doesn't want to spend money on a tree and he's not spending more than 20 bucks and this and that and this and that. I'm like, this guy's already going to be a dick. But, you know, I'm like, all right, let me put my happy hits on, you know, because, hey, I hustle for tips as well, you know, so if I give you a good experience, you know, maybe you'll throw me a buck or two. So this guy gets out and he's like, I ain't spending more than 20 bucks. What do you got for 20 bucks? So we have a really steep rack in the back. It's our number two trees. They're called number twos because they basically, they're pieces of shit. You know, they might be big, yep, 8 feet tall, but because they're not symmetrical or they have bare spots or whatever, the guy I'm only selling, he was only selling, this is our old farm, for like $6. So like an 8 foot tree for $6, you could throw a $60 price tag on it and make half of a profit.
Yeah.
So, you know, but we had some of the really ugly ones on the back rack. You know, anything you want, think about right here. These are all ugly. I said, what the hell do you expect? So he finds a really nice tree for like a $45 tree. He's going to give you $24. I'm like, nope, because I can already tell you're being a dick. So no. And then the guy who was working as the acting manager, not the owner, but he was in charge that night. He came out and he's like, yo, what's up? I'm like, oh, guys, like, I want to do the tree $25. And the guy's like, yeah, I guess we can do that. And I'm like, damn it. And I'm like, no, don't do it. So guy's like, and then he gets like kind of like cocky with me. He's like, I want you to take it in the back. I want you to cut it. I want you to drill it. Make sure you drill it near the center. And I'm like, buddy, you're pissing me off. Now I could turn around and say, you know what? Fuck you. Okay, cutting it's another $3. Drilling it's another $5. Tying it on your car is $10. You know, but I'm not doing it. I'm trying to be cool. I'm trying to be good. So as I'm tying it on this car, he comes out and says, yelling at the son, get that fucking tree off my car. The kid's like, what do you want to get that? Put it in the trunk. It's too big. You got a big tree because you're basically a dick. So then instead of thanking me for tying it on his car, he's like, your guy inside's a jerk. Why? He wouldn't make me a deal on the artificial stuff. I said, well, we don't make deals on that. We're not allowed. The owner will have our ass. Oh, I've heard that one before. No, who do you think? What do you think? We just do this, you know, off the side of the road? No, there is a guy that's in charge, and we do have a boss. Yeah. So, you know, the guy's leaving. I'm like, fuck you, asshole, you know? So the following year, I'm going to do an Elvis theme. So I'm going to come there dressed, sing Blue Christmas to the customers. And so I showed up a half hour early, got my outfit. I see this guy. Looks like the same guy, same two 20-year-old sons. He comes up, hey, buddy, how much are trees running? I said, yeah, they start at 35, they go up there. Well, would you take anything, would you sell anything for 25? I said, yo, I'm not on the clock, so I don't have time to talk to you. You know, so I walk away, I go in the camper to get changed. The owner happens to be there that day, and he comes in the camper, and his neck is, I mean, red. And he goes, did you tell a guy that all our trees are $35? He wants to make a deal for $25. I said, yo, I've been with you for 5 years. Would I have ever said that? He goes, I know you wouldn't. He goes, is that the same guy from last year? I said, Danny, I think it is. He's like, it is. From what you told me, it is. He goes, I don't want you coming out right now because I know what you're going to do, meaning that I'm probably going to punch the guy in his mouth. But he goes, yeah. Because, first of all, I don't like your attitude. I didn't like you from last year. And second of all, now you're calling me a liar? I don't take that too kindly. And, I mean, I'll take that 7-foot Frasier and I'll stick it somewhere, you know, you can brush your teeth with it only because it's gone up rapidly.
Yeah.
So the owner comes out and he goes, you know what, buddy? He goes, you see the price tag on the trees? That's how much they cost. You don't like it? Get the fuck out of here. Oh, you don't have to get rude. So that was that one. We've had a few people that are like, you know, kind of dicks. You know, we've had people, what do you do with the extra trees? Well, you know, the mulching place will come get them. You know, and you should donate them. Yeah, well, you know what? If people find out we're dead, they'll just wait till Christmas Eve and we'll have a line around the block.
Yeah.
We're not stupid.
This is why I'm glad I can pick and choose my clients and my businesses, because I thought, oh, you should donate them. You know, you should STF, well, you know, get my drift. I mean, that's kind of my natural knee-jerk reaction when someone starts this, you should. You know, or you need to, no, you need to shut the, you know, family show. That's just my instinct.
Yeah, well, we've had people. there, you know, and, you know, Mercedes and Lexus and all that, bitch about the price. Okay, fine, whatever. But then you're telling me I should give away, you know, free stuff. Well, you know, where did you get money to get that real nice car? It's probably working, just like I'm doing.
Do you ever get anyone try to,
You know, you just want to say, it must suck to be you. It really must suck to be you.
Yeah.
Do you ever get anyone try to buy a tree with food stamps?
Yeah. It's funny you say that, because I was thinking about that the other day, because I was reading about it.
I'm going to eat it, man!
Things you shouldn't be allowed to buy with food stamps. They're talking about, like, lobsters and flaming bun and shit like that. Have I ever witnessed it? No. Has it probably happened there? Yes, I'm sure it has.
That's crazy. All right, moving on. We're going to go to Buenos Aires, Argentina here for the big female fight of the week here. This is a crazy record for females. Super bantamweights coming up on Friday, tomorrow night. Marcela Eliana Acuna. Her record is 44-6-1. She's fighting Jessica Patricia Marcos, who's 27-0-2. And none of these girls has lost any time recently. It's for the vacant IBF World Female Super Bantamweight title. And nowhere near that kind of record in the co-main event. We got a 5-0 guy against a 4-5 guy. Crazy. Female fights, big deal there. And that's it's in Argentina. And then there's another big female fight in Finland, I believe, on Friday night, if I can find it. First, over in Quebec, we got Jean Pascal in action at light heavyweight. He's got 30 wins, 4 losses, 1 draw. Fighting Ricardo Marcelo Romalo, who is 21-10-1. And Jesus is on that card, too. Jesus Perez.
How was that, he took from a group
of? Yeah, he's obviously had some ups and downs lately.
Yeah, more depth recently.
Alright. We had one in Finland. Where is it? Nicaragua. We got a big fight in Togo, actually, as well. Where is it? Togo. Kwame Fali Kuega. He's 13-3, fighting Pata Varduashvili, who's got 30 wins, 10 losses, 2 draws for the interim Global Boxing Union World Super Welterweight title, the vacant Universal Boxing Federation European Super Welterweight title, and the vacant Global Boxing Council Super Welterweight title.
Boy, that Kwame would have a name be fun to say 10 times quick, huh?
Oh, no.
Wow.
And then out in Indio, California, we got quite a card on Friday night. Vyacheslav Shabransky, 17-0, fighting Sullivan Barrera, 17-1 in the main event. And that's for a minor title, vacant WBC United States light heavyweight title. Co-main event is welterweights Eddie Gomez against Rashidi Ellis. Ellis undefeated at 16-0. And Eddie is 19-1. That's for the IBF North American welterweight title. And then we got featherweights Ronnie Rios against Roy Tapia. Rios is 26-1. Tapia is 12-1. We got Antonio Orozco, undefeated at 25-0, against Fidel Maldonado Jr., 22-3-1. That's for the vacant WBC International super lightweight title. And then super featherweights Ryan Martin, 16-0, and Yardley Suarez, 19-5, go at it in a supporting bout there. And the rest of the card is pretty much short timers, short rounds. And we got a card in Philly at the Sugar House Casino. Where the hell is that, Tony? Where are you hiding that place?
Right on 95. I can honestly say I've never been there. I've gone past it.
Yes. This card is not nothing to write home about, I'll tell you that. It's Louis LeBron, 6-0-1 against Roberto Rodriguez Correa, 9-11-4 is the main event. That's tomorrow night. So I wouldn't blame you if you missed it, Tony.
Well, I'm going to be working 8:30 to 2 at my regular job, and it'll be the 10th at my other job.
All right. Saturday's fights. Boxrec wants to take forever. Seems like it takes 20 minutes to close a window tonight. There we go. Alright. Over in China on Saturday, we got Nihumar Cermeno, 25-5-1, fighting Zhao Junqui, who's 21-3. That one's for the WBA World Super Bantamweight title. The co-main event is Kan Zhu, who is 10-2, fighting Spice Matsushita, who is 16-8-1. That's for the WBA International Super Featherweight title. And this is the Colombian mismatch of the week here. It's hands down, it's got to be this fight. There's no other candidate that I could picture as bad as this one. It makes it even worse that it's the only fight on this card. Juan Camilo Novoa. He is 27-8-1. His opponent, Francisco Herrera. He is one win, 39 losses, and one draw.
Wow.
27-8.
Tough day at the job, huh? Can you imagine him coming home at night?
Yes.
How'd it go today, honey?
Not good. There's the Finland fight I was talking about. I thought it was Friday, but it's actually Saturday. From Helsinki, Finland, we have a super featherweight main event. Eva Wahlström, 18-0-1, fighting Anahi Esther Sanchez, who's 14-0. That one's for the WBC World Female Super Featherweight title. Then we got lightweights for the EBU lightweight title. 28-1, Edis Tatley, fighting Manuel Lancia, who is 14-1-1. And Mariano Hilario, 15-5, fighting Miklas Rasanen, who's 13-0 for the EU super middleweight title. And a no-title fight, heavyweights, Robert Hellenius, 23-1, fighting Gonzalo Omar Basil, who is 68-11. Holy shit. 68 wins, 11 losses. A lot of fights. Lots of fights there. Fight over in France. I can't see exactly what the title is, but it's welterweights. Mohamed Mimoun, who is 16-2, fighting Damian Martin, who's 25-8-4. Just waiting for the box set to unfreeze here. Oh boy. Here's some other fights in France. Hassan Ndam Jukam, who's 34-2, fighting Alfonso Blanco, who is 12-0. That was for the interim WBA World Middleweight title. Then Michael Soro, 28-1-1, fighting Nuhu Lawal, who is 24-1. That's for the WBA International Middleweight title. Yuriorkis Gamboa, also on the card at super featherweight, 25-1. 25-1 coming in against Malcolm Klassen, who is 33-6-2. Big step up for Yuriorkis there for the vacant WBA International Super Featherweight title. And here's another one, big female fight. It must be female fight week. From Quintana Roo, Mexico. Arma Garcia comes in at 16-1-1, fighting Mariana Juarez, who's 43-9-4. Yikes. That's for the WBC International Female Bantamweight title. Co-main event is welterweights Diego Cruz, 17-3-1, and Carlos Molina, who's 27-6-2. And apparently still can't fight in the United States. He was going on a tear there for a little while. And then he got some legal trouble, stopped him from getting a license in the United States. Carlos Molina. Okay. Now we go to the Bernard Hopkins card. Oh, before that, we're going to go to Ekaterinburg, Russia. Alexander Povetkin fighting Bermain Stiverne for the interim WBC World Heavyweight title. And Alexander comes in with 30 wins, 1 loss. Stiverne, 25 wins, 2 losses, and 1 draw. Had the title briefly. Now he's going to go for the interim title here. Also, lightweights, Rustam Nagaev fighting Ardi Boyos. Nagaev comes in at 27-7-1. Boyos, 17-0-2. And this could almost be a mismatch of the week. A guy is 3-2 against a guy who's 18-1-1. That's a pretty tough one. Not as bad as the other one, though. IBF International Featherweight title on the line in Vasco, Spain. Andoni Gago, 15-2-2, fighting Sofian Takusht, who is 33-1. 30 wins, 3 losses, 1 draw. Co-main event, there's a Jesus fight of the week for the WBA International Welterweight title. Jesus Garola, 23-9-3, fighting Kerman Lajaraga, who's 18-0. So, Jesus is going to need a miracle to beat the undefeated guy. Let's see. And, as I said, Bernard Hopkins fighting Joe Smith Jr. That one's in Inglewood, California. Unfortunately, it's not in Philadelphia. Promised this but it's a heck of a card here. Had a lot of nice supporting bouts. Main event there. Joe Smith comes in at 22-1, coming off a beautiful knockout win. This one's for the WBC International Light Heavyweight title. Bernard comes in at 55-7-2. Lots of fights. Cruiserweights, the co-main event for the WBO World Cruiserweight title. Alexander Usyk, 10-0, fighting Tabiso Mchunu, who is 17-2. And they got Jason Quigley, undefeated at middleweight, 11-0, fighting Jorge Melendez, who's got 30 wins, 7 losses, and 1 draw. And the NABF featherweight title on the line between Joseph Diaz, undefeated at 22-0, and Horacio Garcia, who has got 30 wins, 1 loss, and 1 draw. Let's see. That's pretty much it for that card. Good stuff. Good stuff. That's about it for the week. Well, we do have a downtown Las Vegas Event Center main event. That's pretty intriguing there. Oscar Cantu at Super Flyweight, 14-0, undefeated, fighting Aston Paliste, who's 21-2 for the vacant WBA NABA Super Flyweight title, the vacant WBO Intercontinental Super Flyweight title, and the vacant NABF Super Flyweight title. Lots of freaking titles. So, first time in a long time we let off the show with 99% boxing, huh, Tony?
Yeah, I know, it's amazing.
All right, so now we got to get into some mixed martial arts. As I mentioned earlier, Max Holloway got quite the big win over Anthony Pettis. And he just made a lot of good adjustments, you know. He came out in the first round a little bit sloppy, but, you know, he made the right adjustments, found his range, and just exploded on him. And at the end of the fight, it was just too much punishment all at once. Unreal. But
and called out Aldo, didn't he?
Yes, he did. It's funny, you know. Aldo has pulled out of a couple fights here and there due to injury, but he's not, like, famous for it to the extent that he deserved that. But I thought it was hilarious that Max Holloway called him Jose Waldo, because this is Where's Waldo?
Yeah.
Jose Waldo, yeah, we'll set it up with Jose Waldo, if we can find him. crazy stuff. Anyway, we'll get that fight card up in a minute. The co-main event there was pretty exciting too. Matt Brown versus Cowboy Cerrone. It was starting off to be a little bit more competitive than it ended up, but the head kick was the big weapon for Cowboy. And actually, it was kind of funny because I'm watching the little feed here on my computer instead of getting the pay-per-view, of course. And so I'm watching it, and immediately after the kick lands, the last kick of the fight that put him down, immediately after that lands, the feed freezes. So I didn't even get to watch that or the main event until the next day. But I knew it was pretty much done at that point. I knew that fight was at least...
Well, you know what? What I say about Matt Brown, I mean, he's tough as nails, but again, he's another one of those, like Matthew Saad Muhammad. He's always in wars.
Yeah.
And I just think he's... his trajectory is down. I mean, I'm sure he's going to fight again. I don't think they're going to cut him, but I think his days of being a real legit title threat are in the past.
Yes, sir. And another fight on that card that was kind of surprising, Kelvin Gastelum got a lot of crap over the years for missing weight here and there, and come in there against Tim Kennedy and just totally demolished the guy. And you'd think, you know, it would piss off a military guy more than anything else, that a guy doesn't follow the schedule and do the things that he's supposed to do, you know. So Tim went in there with kind of a chip on his shoulder about all that, and then, you know, kind of to want to make a point about this is how you act as an MMA fighter, and then loses the fight.
So how long had it been since Tim had been inactive? Close to 2 years,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah, and I have been watching him in the Hunting Hitler series on the History Channel. It's pretty good stuff.
Which has zero relevance.
Right.
Real job. I mean, I kind of figured where this was going. I mean, this is not the kind of thing that you do on a hobby. I'm an MMA fighter, just kind of my secondary hobby.
And then
remember my favorite saying: fighting is a very jealous mistress.
Yes, it is. And then one of the best fights I've seen in a whole hell of a long time, Cub Swanson versus Du Ho Choi. I mean, these guys, these little bastards, they hit each other with everything but the kitchen sink, and neither one of them went down for the count. But Du Ho Choi was about to, I think. I mean, if that thing had another minute, he was going. He's gone. But Du Ho, I mean, talk about taking a punch. I mean, hell of a chin for a little guy like that. Cub hit him with everything possible to put him down, and he stayed up. Cub got the decision there, unanimous decision, big win for him. We also had Emil Weber Meek beat Jordan Main by unanimous decision, and Misha Sherkunov got a big guillotine choke win with a little less than 20 seconds left, a little more than 20 seconds left in the first round against Nikita Krylov. And I believe Krylov was undefeated going into that one. It was a great card overall. I'll get to the rest of them. Sure Dog's being a bastard now, too. Then we had Valerie Letourneau losing a split decision to Vivian Pereira. Olivier Aubin-Mercier got a big win over Drew Dober by rear naked choke submission. That was 2:57 into the second round. Matthew Lopez got a win over Mitch Gagnon. Gagnon, I guess they were calling him. Unanimous decision win. Lando Magnata.
Yeah, Gagnon, I think, just kind of ran out of gas in the third round. That was one hell of a battle early, but...
Yeah, that was a good fight.
Matthews, I really was impressed by his ground game, Matthews. Lopez and Matthew, I mean, just an outstanding effort.
Yes, sir. And then Lando Magnata got a spinning wheel kick knockout in the first round over John Modesi, which was... if they still had knockout of the night, was a clear knockout of the night winner. because it was the only one, pretty much, except
he's
for the
got,
main
he's
event.
He's got the coolest name.
And, well, I mean, I guess you could say the co-main event was pretty much worthy, too. But co-main event or the main event would be tougher. But just the dynamic kicking there was unbelievable. Then we also had Rustam Khabilov beating Jason Sago by unanimous decision, and Dustin Ortiz beating Zach Minkowski by split decision. And then there was the one that I didn't see a single fight on, UFC Fight Night 102. I don't know if you watched that, Tom.
No.
I totally missed the window on that one. Derek Lewis was in the main event there. Waiting for that one to load. Don't need Nunes versus Rousey. Give me a second here. We'll get to the UFC Fight Night 102 results. Come on, Sure Dog. How about we just preview this weekend's UFC on Fox 22, Van Zandt versus Waterson. That is the next UFC event. Paige Van Zandt, the main event. She is 7-2, fighting Michelle Waterson, who is 13-4 there. I believe this is Uriah Faber's last fight as well, over Brad Pickett.
Uriah's finally hanging him up.
Yeah, so that is going to be it for him. He comes in at 33-10, fighting Brad Pickett, who is 25-12. And Sage Northcutt, 8-1, fighting Mickey Gall, who is now most famous probably for beating the crap out of CM Punk in his UFC debut. Gall is 3-0.
That, you know, that's an intriguing matchup because Gall called him out and Sage said, let's do it.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you caught the preview.
No, not yet.
But Gall feels very confident in his stand-up game, and Sage feels confident on the ground. So that could be a barn burner.
Yeah, and then we got Mike Perry fighting Alan Juban. Perry's 9-0. Juban is 14-4. Paul Craig also on the card, 8-0, fighting Luis Henrique da Silva, also undefeated at 12-0. So that should be a good one. And the guy that we've been talking about the last couple weeks for all his very legitimate and very well expressed complaints about the UFC, you know, setting people up for fights and then not coming through, you know, fights fall through and they don't take care of their fighters. Well, Cole's got a fight coming up after getting his fight canceled. He's got a battle with Mizuto Hirota, Cole Miller. He's 21-10. Mizuto Hirota, 17-7-2, coming into that one. And we got Brian Barberina, 12-3, fighting Colby Covington, who's 10-1. James Muntasri, also on the card, 9-4, fighting Alex Morono, who is 12-3. Josh Emmett in the fifth fight of the night, 10-0, fighting Scott Holtzman, who's 9-1. We got Irene Aldana, 7-2, fighting Leslie Smith, who's 8-7-1. Eddie Wineland is in third fight of the night, 22-11-1, fighting Takeya Mizugaki, who's 21-10-2. It's a lot of experience for the third fight of the night right there. We also got Freddie Serrano, 3-1, fighting Hector Sandoval, 12-3. And Sultan Aliyev fighting Bojan Velikovic. Velikovic. So they usually pronounce those. Alright. Back to this. UFC Fight Night 102. You can get it to load. Alright. We also have the Bellator event coming up this weekend. Big Bellator fights in Dublin, Ireland. I guess that's tomorrow, right? Bellator, yep, December 16th, it's tomorrow. Molawal versus Satoshi Ishii. And believe Ishii's last fight was with Rampage. Mo is 19-5. Ishii is 14-6-1 coming into that one. And there's not a whole lot of spectacular supporting bouts for this one. There's only four fights total on the undercard. James Gallagher coming in at 4-0, fighting Anthony Taylor, who's 1-1. Guy I interviewed about a couple weeks ago now, Daniel Weichel, 37-9, fighting Brian Moore, who's 9-4 there. Sinead Kavanaugh, 3-0, fighting Elena Kalionidou, who is 5-0. And then Shea Walsh, 14-4, fighting Louise Tosta from Dublin, Ireland. I don't know how they're going to do that with the tape delay and all that stuff, but I guess we'll find that out.
Well, I guess you just have to stay off the underground if you want the suspense, and then some of these morons go on the underground and complain when the results are posted. Well, you know, hello, if you want to watch it and not know, don't go on the underground.
Right.
I'm sure it's the same thing there. I mean, they've got the results posted. Stay off the internet.
Ridiculous stuff. So, UFC Fight Night 102, that was last weekend as well. Derek Lewis beat Shamil Abdurakhimov. That was by fourth round TKO from punches. Lewis improves to 17-4, and Abdurakhimov goes to 17-4. Also, co-main event, Francis Ngannou beat Anthony Hamilton by Kimura submission, 1 minute and 57 seconds into the first round. Corey Anderson beat Sean O'Connell by TKO in the second round. Gian Vellante beat Saparbek Safarov by TKO punches, second round as well, inside of 3 minutes. Justine Kish got a win over Ashley Yoder by unanimous decision. Randy Brown beat Brian Kamosi by TKO in the second round, 125 into that one. Gerald Meerschaert beat Joe Gigliotti by Anaconda choke submission, 4 minutes and 12 seconds into round number 1. We had 3 unanimous decisions in a row. In the 5th fight of the night, Andrew Sanchez over Trevor Smith. Shane Burgos in the 4th fight over Thiago dos Santos de Silva. 3rd fight was Mark Diachiese over Frankie Perez. And we had 2 more unanimous decisions in the first 2 fights. Ryan James got one over Keith Barish, and Juliana Lima got one over J.J. Aldrich. Unanimous decisions. All right, so we got a couple other developments in MMA news. Jose Aldo had some recent comments I thought were interesting about this new MMAAA, whatever the heck they're calling it. He says he's got some suspicions over the whole situation. He says, they invited me to be a part of this association, but I don't think everything is clear with this association. There are others going on, laws in the American Senate as well, so there's a lot going on to help fighters. When it's possible for me to be present and be a part of things that will benefit the athletes, I will always fight for us. But he adds, this association was created by a former Bellator president, so I don't know what's the real function behind it, if it's something for the fighters. I'm part of one, too, with Randy Couture, Kung Lee, that has an open mind to help fighters, not only the ones in the UFC. That's a key quote right there. Not only the ones in the UFC, because you got to remember the other 2 that came out recently are solely targeting UFC fighters. And
yeah,
the one that Aldo was talking about is the MMAFA, which was started by a guy named Rob Mazey, who is headlining basically the UFC antitrust lawsuit. So talk about putting your money where your mouth is. And then Bjorn Rebney comes along with a couple MMA fighters in the UFC and says, hey, we're going to get a lawsuit going. There's already one going, buddy. You should sign up for it. You shouldn't be trying to start a new one. That's my perspective on that. But Aldo says, our world isn't focused only in the UFC. We have millions of fighters, trillions of fighters that need help. We won't fight with a promotion just because we're exclusive there. I fight for everybody. national and international, no matter where they are, I want to help those athletes, not only those in the UFC, those that are in the big league and can have a better future, but those in the small promotions and need our help. So good on you, Jose. That's the kind of shit I'd like to hear Conor McGregor saying. But no, he's got to say, get my belt, you cheap motherfuckers. That's his big contribution. Anyway, also in the news, we had some settlements over failed drug tests. One of them was, the big one was Brock Lesnar. He has been suspended for 1 year and fined $250,000 for a pair of failed drug tests that were revealed after UFC 200. So that was a big one. $250,000. He was still under contract with WWE at the time of the fight, and he has since competed in matches against Randy Orton at SummerSlam and Bill Goldberg at Survivor Series. Sorry about that background. The Beast Incarnate is one of two superstars, along with Goldberg, who have been announced for participation as well in January's Royal Rumble match. So, he would be eligible to compete again in the summer of 2017 if the UFC ever does business with him again.
Which I doubt, but yes. You never know. Money talks.
Who knows?
Well, first off, you got to see if Brock's going to pay the fine. Because if he doesn't pay the fine, he won't get his license back, right? That's the only sanction they have.
Right. So what else we got for news? No, I got some other stuff here. Oh, tragic story of a super bantamweight boxer from Mexico, son of a former world champion. He's actually found murdered near his home in Guadalajara, Mexico, last Friday. He was only 23 years old, Alejandro Gonzalez Jr. And he was found dead along with two others inside of a Jeep. And the murders were described as execution style. And one of the other victims was believed to be Gonzalez's grandfather. His final record was 25-3-3 with 15 knockouts, nicknamed Cobrita. He last fought on October 29th in Guadalajara. Got a majority decision draw in that bout against Hector Bobadilla. So, and he was a premier boxing champions fighter as well, so they've given condolences out there about him. Crazy stuff going down there in Mexico. That's why you got to get that Donald Trump up there in the White House. Mm. Get some shit done. Clean up that shit. He's talking today about that. You know, getting rid of these criminal actors and cleaning up the cartels. And remember a couple weeks ago we were talking about if you're in a coma from a boxing match and you just barely lived after a major incident, you think you probably want to stay away from boxing for a little while. Nick Blackwell got caught in a sparring session. And now the boxer who was in there with him, Hassan Karkardi, and the coach, Liam Wilkins, were both suspended. Boxing for the incident, so good move there. So the British Board of Boxing Board of Control have suspended them, and they must attend a board hearing in January. So there you have it there.
So they have said Blackwell can't even come into the gym, huh?
Yeah. He's gone on to make a full recovery, but he's being told he could never box or spar again. And he just collected his trainer's license last month. So you'd think that he would stick to that. But no, he had to push the limit a little. So that sucks. All right. I think that's about it for what we've got this week. I don't have any other outstanding stories to talk about. Events. Did I miss anything?
Everything's pretty good, bud. We'll look forward to next week.
Yep. Until next week. next week, folks. Adios.
All right. Thanks, guys. Enjoy the fights. We got a lot of them.
Yeah, and I'll try to work out some kind of interview before the next show. And Tony will sell a lot of trees. I'm going to come there and ask, what do you got for $2?
Yeah. I'll probably pick up like a twig on the ground.
I'm going to go all the way to Philadelphia for my tree and bring it all the way back here to New Hampshire. Bet you nobody does that. All right, guys. Well, Merry Christmas. Don't spend too much. Don't eat too much candy. And we'll see you next week.
All right. Sounds good.
Adios.